honestly, that's kind of what today is about. And it's about growth. It's about taking the next step. It's about being willing to let God use you, even when you don't feel completely ready. Today, we are celebrating with you as graduating seniors. And if we're being honest, graduation is kind of a weird thing. One day, everyone is asking you if you're excited to graduate. The next day, everyone is asking if you know what you're doing with the rest of your life, as if you're supposed to magically have everything figured out overnight. But I think the most of us know life doesn't really work that way. The truth is, we're all still learning. We're all still growing. We're all still figuring out what it means to follow Jesus. And that's true whether you're an incoming sixth grader, a high school senior, or an adult sitting in the congregation today. One of the things I've learned in youth group is that God doesn't wait until we have everything figured out before he starts working in our lives. If he did, none of us would ever qualify. Instead, he meets us where we are, and that's one reason why this summer's theme is built different. Now, when people hear that phrase, they usually think it means someone is stronger, smarter, tougher, or somehow better than everyone else. But that's not what we're talking about. When we say built different, we're talking about being different because Jesus is changing us. We're talking about living differently, thinking differently, loving differently, treating people differently. We're talking about becoming the people God created us to be. Not because we're perfect, but because he's working in us. And honestly, that's what makes youth group so important. Because youth group isn't just about games, although the games are pretty fun. It's not just about camps. It's not just about pizza. It's not just about staying up way too late at events and then pretending we're not tired. Youth group is about connection. Connection with God, connection with each other, connection with people who encourage us when life gets hard. Over the years, we've had the privilege of walking alongside younger students, worshiping together and serving together, laughing together, as well as growing together. And as we step into this next season, we hope we've left behind an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus and be his salt and light. But before they do that, we have something they want to share with all of you. Because today's message isn't really about graduation, it's about identity. And it's about understanding who Jesus says we are. It's about understanding what it means to be different in a world that constantly tells us to blend in. And that's exactly where our scripture takes us today. Jesus looked at ordinary people and said something extraordinary. He didn't tell them they needed to become famous. He didn't tell them they needed to be perfect. He didn't tell them they needed to have all the answers. Instead, he told them who they already were. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." So this morning, as we celebrate as seniors and look ahead to what God has for every student in this ministry, let's listen closely to what Jesus has to say. Would you help me welcome the brothers and sisters in Christ as they come and share today's message on being salt and light? We'll have our first senior talking about personal connections.
Good morning. My name is Malachi Hampton. I'm going to start off with a joke. Why was the Bible so calm? Because it had all the answers. Something that not very many people might know about me is back when I was in seventh grade, it was when we had just gotten back to school from being off for COVID, I struggled with real bad anxiety, and there was one guy all of you might know. His name is Joe Hendershot. He showed me that even just being there to listen to someone is a great way to spread the light of God. Today I want to talk about the challenges, times of struggle, the moments of God serving, and the aspects of what faith can look like when it's tested. Today I was asked to share a time when I blended in and or struggled to live out my faith. To answer that, I'd probably have to say when I'm around a big group of people, because I'm not someone that likes public speaking at all. So when I get around a lot of people, I tend to stay to myself rather than tell people what I'm thinking. And because of that, I tend to go with the crowd a lot and blend in with everyone else. Another time would probably have to be when I'm super tired or stressed about something, because I always just want to get it over with and go be by myself for a while. In Ezekiel 3:10-11, it says, "And he said to me, 'Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your people in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen.'" This verse tells us that we should take heart in his words and go speak them to everyone. And then 1 Peter 4:10-11, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God. And in its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." In this, it tells us that we are all given traits and talents. It reminds us that all our talents can and should be used to better the kingdom of heaven by spreading our light through these talents. One example might be if your talent is public speaking, you could lead a big group closer to God. Others might be better talking to people one-on-one. And some are funny, or try to be like I was at the start of this. Either way, you can use these God-given gifts to shine the light of God to everyone around you. Think of this through your jobs or in your classes, just by how you greet someone and talk to them throughout the day. We see in Colossians 4:4-6, it says, "Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." One question that comes up a lot when you get to be a senior and when graduation comes is, what's next? Though some of us have a plan, others have no clue what's next. But the truth is, no matter if you have a plan or not, God's always got a plan for you. One question you can ask wherever God's plan puts you is, how can I live as salt and light there? One way you can see if you're spreading light and being the salt is by observing what changes when you show up or walk in the room. In conclusion, I leave you with a challenge, and that is to be the light every day wherever you go. Now I would like to pass it on to our next senior to talk about being the salt in the world. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jordan. Today I'd like to speak about a powerful statement Jesus made in Mark 9:50. It says, "Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." At first glance, this verse may seem simple. Salt is something we use every day without giving it much thought. We sprinkle it on food, use it in cooking, and rarely stop to consider its deeper meaning. But when Jesus spoke about salt, his listeners immediately understood the significance behind it. In biblical times, salt was valuable. It preserved food, prevented decay, purified and added flavor. It was crucial for everyday life. Jesus used this ordinary substance to teach an extraordinary lesson about the character and influence his followers should have in the world. When Jesus said, "Salt is good," he was emphasizing the importance of living a life that positively impacts others. Just as salt preserves food from spoiling, Christians are called to help preserve what is good, honorable, and godly in a society. In a world where negativity, dishonesty, and division and selfishness often spread quickly, believers are called to stand for truth, compassion, integrity, and peace. Our presence should make a difference. The second part of this verse is especially important, but if it loses its saltiness, how can we make it salty again? Jesus was warning his followers not to lose the qualities that make them spiritually effective. Salt that loses its purpose becomes useless. In the same way, when Christians compromise their values, remain silent in the face of wrongdoing, or blend so completely into the culture around them that their faith is no longer visible, they lose part of the influence God intended them to have. This does not mean Christians are expected to be perfect. None of us are perfect. However, it does mean we are called to remain faithful, consistent, and committed to the values God has given us. Our faith should not only appear on Sunday mornings or during church activities. It should be reflected in the way we treat people, the way we speak, the choices we make, and the way we respond to challenges and conflicts. Jesus then says something very meaningful: have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. This part of the verse reminds us that spiritual influence is closely connected to the way we treat one another. It is not enough to simply claim we follow God while constantly creating division, bitterness, or conflict. Jesus calls his followers to be people of peace. Peace does not mean avoiding difficult conversations or pretending problems do not exist. True peace means approaching others with humility, patience, wisdom, and love. It means choosing forgiveness over revenge, understanding over judgment, and unity over division. In today's world, peace can often feel rare. Social media, politics, competition, and personal disagreements frequently encourage people to attack each other instead of building each other up. Arguments spread faster than encouragement. Criticism often receives more attention than kindness, yet Jesus calls believers to live differently. As followers of Christ, we should be known not for creating chaos, but for bringing calm into difficult situations. We should be people who encourage others instead of tearing them down. We should be willing to listen, to help, and to show grace even when it's difficult. Sometimes we underestimate the power of small actions. A kind word to someone who is struggling, standing up for what is right, including someone who feels alone, or showing patience during a stressful moment may seem small, but those actions can have a lasting impact. Just as a small amount of salt can change the entire flavor of a meal, one faithful person can influence an entire environment. Whether we realize it or not, every one of us influences the people around us. The question is not whether we have influence, but what kind of influence we do have. Do our words bring encouragement or negativity? Do our actions reflect integrity or compromise? And do people see peace, kindness, and wisdom in us, or do we simply blend into the attitudes of the world around us? Mark 9:50 challenges us to examine our character and our relationships. Jesus reminds us that our faith should be visible, meaningful, and active. We are called to preserve what is good, remain faithful in our values, and live at peace with one another. At the end of the day, being salt is not about popularity, recognition, or appearing perfect. It is about faithfully representing Christ wherever we are placed, at school, at work, at home, online, and within our communities. Every conversation matters, every action matters, and every example matters. So today, let us remember the words of Jesus: have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. May we live in a way that brings the truth where there is confusion, kindness where there is hatred, and hope where there is disencouragement, and peace when there is conflict. Not someday, not when it is convenient, but right now. I would like to pass it to our next senior to talk about being the light of the world. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I am Lawrence Nelson, and I have a question for you guys. What does light mean? What the scripture says about light is the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So what does light mean? First point was it reveals the truth. No hiding anything, simply because God knows everything, and you are not very hidden. Number two, it guides people. It guides people towards the destination or like where God wants them to go, but also just helps them with their walk in their faith. Third point is cannot be hidden. Like Peter, when he tried to deny Jesus three times, he was trying to hide, but truly he could not be hidden because everyone knew that he was with him. And last point is points people to God, not yourself. It's not the light doesn't show you as a person, but it shows God in a way that you It's not all about you, but it's all about God. And about being the light, I have a scripture for this one, and it's 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of all of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are chosen, and to be the light, and no one is not chosen. I want you guys to think about this question for you guys yourself: is what does my life point people towards? My answer is, for this question, I wanted to be my life to point to Christ, or something like Jesus, because I don't know if I could be up here talking if my life wasn't pointing that way. And he is the only way, truth, and light. The second question I want you guys to think about and ask you guys yourself is, where is it hardest to live out my own faith? I have it written down here, but I'm going to go off a different way. As hard as to live out is when my faith is when the fear hits, and when I start thinking about all the other things instead of focusing on the Lord, my fear takes control, and that's when I don't overcome this fear, even though he has given me the power to do it. It's just, I sometimes let the fear control me, and that's my hardest time thing to live out in my faith. Building the message together. I got two verses for this. 1 John 5, which it says, "This message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship in one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." I want to take a moment to answer this question, and it's, who is covering this light, your light of yours? And I came up with three instantly as I asked that question for myself, and it was myself, Satan, or other people in my life. I've noticed recently that some people in my life cover my light because we just talk down on each other, or myself when I do jokes and it's bringing me down instead of bringing me up. And Satan, because he could twist scripture around and let the fear hit you, and it just doesn't go the way that the Lord wants. And my final challenge is, light changes what it enters. And it changes because of the different atmosphere you're in. Like, for example, when I'm with youth group and everything, I can talk about Jesus all the time and any time and not worry about a thing, but I have some friends that just don't want to listen or hear about the Lord, but I'm just there being present and showing actions about Christ so I can follow him, show them the Lord to the best ability that I have. I got two more questions you have to think to yourselves. Where is your faith hardest to live out? It's kind of like the other one, but I do have to say confronting people, even though you do not know where they're standing on their faith or anything because of the hypocrisy and everything they're doing. And it's just a struggle to talk to them about it as well, because of thinking about how they're going to react or what emotions are going to come out because you're confronting them instead of just letting it be. And my last question is, how can our lives show something different? And I say sometimes it's secretly filled with hypocrisy or more. And I've done this a couple times where I said one thing, but I did the complete different way. And I feel like this shows something different and might lead them astray. But I personally think you're not perfect, so just keep moving forward. And I want to introduce our next senior talking.
Good morning, church. Most of you know who I am, but for those of you that don't, I'm Nicholas Bailey. And today I'm here to talk to you guys about community and our role as a church. Romans 14:19 states, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Now, with a show of hands, how many of you in the room know what the word edification means? When I first read this verse, I did not. However, it's crucial to know in order to understand what the verse is telling us. Edification is defined as the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. Now that we understand what the verse is saying on the surface, we can dive deeper into what the verse means. I'm going to break this down into three key categories for us today. Number one, we build people up. Number two, we're bringing peace. And number three, strengthening faith. As Christians, we are supposed to be a visual representation of God's love, meaning our actions and words towards others and ourselves carry a lot of weight. Think of a time in which you were dealing with somebody and they disrespected you. How did that make you feel in the moment? For most of us, we probably felt angry, hurt, and less willing to interact with this person in the future. Now imagine you were calling customer service and the agent on the line was rude to you and completely ruined your perception of that business. That one person's actions towards you now lost your business, even though the business wasn't at fault for the interaction. Proverbs 12:18 states, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongues of the wise bring healing." As a church, we work the same way. We don't represent a business or a brand, but we represent God's love, and if we aren't building people up, we're most likely giving God and the church a bad reputation. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." We can build people up by speaking life into them through encouraging words and being support for those in need. But we also build people up through prayer and service. If we aren't building people up, we're missing the point of what it means to be Christian. Moving into our next topic of peace, Matthew 5:9 tells us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." This verse tells us that as God's children, it is our responsibility to bring peace to those around us and in our communities. Like Malachi mentioned with his situation and story with Joe, I want you to think of a time you were in need and you were struggling, so you called upon a friend or family member to be there. Even if they couldn't help solve the problem, I think most people would agree just having somebody there with you and help carry the weight can help bring peace to your situation. Galatians 6:2 tells us, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Supporting others isn't always buying them gifts or doing an act of service. Sometimes it is as simple as being present in someone's times of need. We also bring peace by not retaliating to the wrongs of others. Colossians 3:13 instructs us to bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let's be honest. In the heat of the moment, it's easy to want to seek revenge or prove others wrong. But often in doing so, you cause more damage than you cause progression. Forgiving others is just as important to bring peace to your community, because the Bible doesn't just tell us to bring peace to your friends and family. We're supposed to go out and share God's love and peace to all, including those we may not get along with. Our last topic is strengthening faith. Now, I know my whole talk has been about others. However, in order to bring peace and build others up, and even help strengthen their faith, we need to be sound in our own faith first. One verse that can be used to describe our relationship with God and faith is 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." This verse helps us to understand that we might not always know what God is doing, but we need to have the faith to do what he is calling us to do. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So while our faith and relationship with God is the foundation, our works in the community to those around us is building upon the foundation. We strengthen faith in others through our words and actions. As I stated earlier, others see how we act, and they model the perception of Christianity upon that, which is why it is so important to watch how we act and treat others. We can also build faith in others by spending time in the Word with them, praying for them, inviting them to church, and if church seems too overwhelming for them, inviting them to one of the many small groups our church has to offer to help them get their foot in the door. As I end my talk on community, there is one thing I want you to take away from this. We are representatives of the church and God's love. The things we do, the words we say, carry weight. So when you walk out those doors at the end of service, go build people up. Go be the peacemakers Matthew talks about, and show others the love God has shown us. Now I'll have our last senior come up to close us out.
Okay. Now you guys can see me. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Anai. And as we've heard today, Jesus has called us to be the salt and light. But I want to clarify by saying, with a strong foundation of faith, being the salt and light of the world doesn't mean that we have to change ourselves. No. We change the people and places around us. In the Bible, Jesus didn't call his followers to stay in one safe place forever. He sent them out. In Romans 4:19, it says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." In simple words, our faith should build people up. Peter preached in crowded cities. Paul traveled town to town sharing the gospel. These two were ordinary people, but God used them to wherever they went. In real life, it's still the same. People in this church shine for Jesus in classrooms, some on job sites, some in hospitals, some at homes with their families. Being salt and light looks big and feels like you have to do huge gestures, but it's not always like that. It is the little things too, like inviting someone in when they feel left out, standing up for someone, refusing to join in on the gossip, encouraging a friend who's struggling, even just being yourself and not blending in with everyone else works too. Be different, be yourself. Jesus never called us to hide or stay comfortable in our faith. He called us to carry it into places we go every day. In life, we go through multiple seasons, and sometimes it's scary entering a new season. Some of us may have gotten comfortable in that one season and don't want anything to change. For some of us, the future may look like graduation, college, work, or an unknown next step. For others, it may look like going back to work tomorrow, raising families, serving people, or walking through difficult seasons. No matter our age or stage of life, Jesus calls all of us to be salt and light. In Philippians 2:14-15, it says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in the warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." We aren't just leaving safe places to go into the world. We're being sent into God's kingdom to shine. Being light isn't only about the big moments. It's seen in the way we treat our peers, the way we respond when life gets difficult, the way we carry peace instead of negativity. In a world where people complain, tear each other down, blend into whatever the trend is, living differently stands out. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. We weren't called to hide our faith inside these walls. We're called to shine bright wherever he places us, whether we're at school, work, on a team, or just in everyday life. Living differently isn't always easy. Being light means standing out. We might have to walk into unknown places, difficult seasons, or situations where our faith may be tested, which is why we should always remember Joshua 1:9. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God doesn't call us to shine on our own strength. He promises to go with us wherever he sends us. The world doesn't need more hidden Christians. It needs people willing to shine in dark places, people willing to bring peace, people willing to live differently. But the amazing thing about all of this is, Jesus didn't say, "One day you'll become salt and light." He said, "You already are." God isn't just moving us forward, he is sending us out to shine. And now if you guys could join me in prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done and the sacrifice you've made through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for calling us to be the salt and light of the world. Lord, remind us that being the salt and the light of the world means that we often have to step out of our comfort zones. Help us encourage one another and strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ so our faith continues to blossom. Lord, because of you, we have the amazing opportunity to share your word, shine your light, bring positivity and encouragement. As we leave today, help us remember that we aren't simply going into the world, but being sent by you. I pray that we all have the courage to shine your light wherever you place us, and the relief knowing that you are by our side through it all. Thank you for your love, your guidance, your faithfulness, and please bless everyone sitting in this room here today and guide us in the days ahead. We love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.